It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 97 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray.
So Carson, the new year has begun and we're ready for another great year of X-Wing podcasting.
Yeah, I just got back from a quick New Year's trip up to Massachusetts. And so the first order of business on returning is making a podcast for you lovely folks listening. Starting the new year off right.
Yeah, so for today's show, we're going to do kind of a year in review, looking back at 2017 and all of the big news that came out of X-Wing in that year.
Yeah, I'm sure some of you had great 2017, some of you have had better years, but I think everyone played some great games of X-Wing in 2017, so hopefully it'll be fun to look back on.
Yeah, so let's get to it. So one of the first big X-Wing events that we saw that year was back in February, where we saw the release of the second half of Wave 10.
Yeah, here we got all the ships that weren't good enough for the first release of Wave 10. We get Kylo Ren shuttle, the Upsilon class shuttle, the quad jumper, and the Rebel TIE fighter.
Yeah, we of course saw the first half of Wave 10 release, which was the U-Wing and the TIE Striker back in December of 2016. So we got the remainder of Wave 10 with these three ships. And, you know, overall, I was maybe a little bit disappointed with this part of the wave release.
Yeah, here we got the release of condition cards, which I think everyone has kind of mixed feelings about.
Well, and we also saw the first ship release that could actually move backwards in the form of the quad jumper. This wave did have some impact on the game competitively. We saw a lot of Captain Rexes showing up in Rebel Synergy builds, and the Kylo Ren crew card, as well as the Kylo Ren pilot on the Upsilon class shuttle, are a pretty powerful game mechanic, although probably not my favorite.
Yeah, so we also saw more mechanics messing with deployment with Lieutenant Dormitz and the Hyperwave Comm Scanner, which I think is pretty interesting design space. And it's been really interesting to see players mess with this and utilize it, whether it's that Upsilon shuttle using those tech upgrades or the Han Solo pilot. I think this is just a really cool design space, and so it was really cool to see more of that being put into the game.
Even if the second half of Wave 10 isn't my favorite grouping of ships, it is cool to see new mechanics be introduced into the game, and that opens up a lot of the design space where we can start seeing these mechanics on newer releases, too.
Right, and while the quad jumper hasn't been that effective, I mean, there's been some niche uses for it. The Upsilon shuttle and the Rebel TIE fighter have been pretty present in competitive play throughout the whole year. Looking back, I kind of thought that Wave 10 shook up the meta a bit more, but really it was something that happened shortly thereafter that really changed up the meta moving into 2017. And that was our first big FAQ update.
Yeah, shortly after the release of the second half of Wave 10, back in March, we saw a FAQ and errata update to a bunch of really important competitive X-Wing cards that in a major way reshaped the way the metagame was going to be. We saw changes to cards like Palpatine, where now Palpatine, you had to declare when you were going to use his ability before you rolled as opposed to after you rolled, making him a little trickier to use effectively.
Yeah, X7 defenders also got reined in. Now they can't get that evade token if they're stressed or bump or overlap an obstacle.
Then we also saw a really substantial rewriting of Manaru's pilot ability on the Jumpmaster 5000. Previously, Manaru could use her ability to pass tokens to ships at any range on the board. That was reeled into just range 1, severely limiting the effectiveness of a lot of popular builds like Dengar Manaru.
Yeah, and taking even another tool away from Dengar and Manaru, the Zuckuss kind of got nerfed down into the ground. Now you can't trigger that crew card's ability if you have any stress tokens.
Yeah, and these were a lot of very aggressive changes, though I'm very thankful that these changes were made because I think they helped lead the way into a healthier metagame. We still had to see some more major changes down the road, I think, before we got to a much better place, but this was a really great start.
Yeah, well, this change was pretty interesting. I think a lot of those substantial modifications were needed, and they definitely did have that desired result on the metagame. A lot of the lists utilizing these cards were pretty oppressive if you were playing some fair X-Wing against them. But it did kind of shift the culture of the competitive X-Wing scene a bit, and now whenever anything's good, there's kind of just a plea for a ban. This was really the first real big banning that's happened in X-Wing. There's some minor nerfings, keeping things in check, but I think this one really shifted the perspective on what the power level should be in competitive X-Wing for both the players and, I think, Fantasy Flight.
Yeah, and I think there is some dangerous territory you can enter here. You don't want to get to the point where just because a combination is good that it should be suddenly banned. It's really only the stuff that's unhealthy for the game and really hard for players to play around. Things that really narrow the metagame, those are the ones that should be targeted. Just because something is a really good combo doesn't necessarily mean it should be banned or eroded out of existence.
Now, getting your defense dice Zuckus and rerolled from great paint results into blanks was very frustrating and demoralizing. So I'm glad that's something I don't have to endure on a weekly basis. It'll still pop every now and then, but I know it's just going to happen once, and then I have a few turns before it's going to happen to me again. So that one was really nice. I don't think nobody's really sad that the Manaroo is nerfed or X7 reined in a bit. I think there is still some discussion on whether or not that Palpatine nerf went a little too far.
Yeah, and that's very understandable, given now that we have even more prevalent bombing mechanics that make it really hard for ace ships with low hit points like TIE Interceptors to exist out there. When we've got all these ships like Captain Nim in the Skurg or Miranda Donnie in the K-Wing still able to bomb really aggressively and take those low hit point ships out really fast.
Right, so the end of Palpatine's power here, and then shortly after, a lot of great bomb mechanics get released, really marked the beginning of moving away from ace gameplay. I mean, now we've seen the Empire in a bit of a resurgence with great missile options. So the Empire's really shifted in what they were played as from the start of the year towards where we're at now at the end of 2017. And where the Imperial faction really suffered from those FAQ updates, the Scum kind of just rolled with it. Okay, Manaroo is not as good. Zuckus probably shouldn't play as frequently. But there's plenty of other great options for the Scum faction. They just deal a lot of damage. Fenrau is still particularly good at that. And Manaroo is even still useful being flown at range one. You also had Asajj Ventress, still as good as she's always been.
Well, and even after the Manaroo nerf, we still saw that Manaroo with the range one restriction still showing up in a lot of the top 16 lists at Worlds 2017.
Yeah, we'll check in with how Scum's doing at the end of the year, but at this point, even with a lot of their best stuff nerfed, they were still doing pretty good. This is where we started seeing Rebels do a bit better. None of their stuff really got nerfed, and Captain Rex was a huge addition for Biggs lists.
When Star Wars Worlds came in May of 2017, we saw that the Rebels and Scum were really the leading factions here. Scum a little bit more than Rebels, with only one Imperial list in the top 16. But in those top 16 lists, we saw good representation from Scum and Villainy. Particularly Jumpmasters were very prevalent in those lists. And a lot of permutations of Rebel synergy lists using Captain Rex and Biggs Darklighter.
But yeah, moving forward, it became all about either a Tawny Mindlink or Miranda Donnie. Kind of the two most powerful archetypes that weren't negatively impacted by that FAQ.
Yeah, a Tawny Mindlink was already a very powerful upgrade card, but after all the nerf updates, we just got to see exactly how powerful and prevalent it was going to be in the competitive game.
Yeah, and the 2017 World Championship was won by Justin Fua from Singapore. He was flying Dengar and Tel Travura, both loaded up with torpedoes. Justin defeated the defending world champion, Nantorfs.
Shout out to Nantorfs too, though, because he made it all the way to the final table at Worlds with a Miranda Donnie rocking an auto blaster turret, which I think is just an amazing meta call and very skillfully played on his part. Also, us being a Minnesota podcast, we do have to give shout outs to the two Minnesota representatives in the top 16 at Worlds. Kevin Lines and Kyle Lembecker did a fantastic job making it all the way to the top 16 cut.
Yeah, hopefully I'll be there next time.
You were close. So not long after Worlds 2017, in June, we saw Scum and Villainy finally join Epic with the release of the Sea Rock Cruiser, and with it some upgrades and pilots that were going to be usable for standard X-Wing play.
Yeah, and I mean, the Sea Rock's a pretty cool ship for Epic, but there was a lot of hope that this would breathe some new light into some of the Scum ships that were struggling. I mean, the Seek Fighter or M31A Interceptor also comes with the expansion, some new pilot options. And those pilot options are good, but their best use ended up just to be Tawny Mindlink carriers and focus batteries for your team and not really anything more interesting than that.
Yeah, we were really hoping that this expansion would release some of the chassis problems that the M3A Interceptor had, especially with the release of cards like the Light Sick title. But unfortunately, it did not end up having a huge impact on the game competitively. We did see some Atani builds where you could get a very cheap Atani Mindlink carrier to pair up with a Fenrau and Dengar. But in the long run, it does not seem like this expansion really saved the Sick Interceptor in the way we were hoping.
Right. I mean, and part of that is they do still only have a few hit points, 4 if you give them the heavy title. But this is a bomb world we're living in, and that's not enough hit points right now.
It was also pretty disappointing to see the impact or lack thereof from the Pulsed Ray Shield upgrade. This was a card which was hopefully going to help revive some of the lesser used scum and rebel ships like the Star Viper or the Hawk 290. But unfortunately, the point cost and pretty high game mechanic cost of having to take an Ion Token to regenerate one shield meant this card was kind of doomed to fail.
Yeah, this is even worse than if R2-D2 is limited to just being used on a one straight. Because if you get stressed, I mean, now you're also giving up your action if you regen a shield, because you're not going to clear it with that Ion one forward. It's just not quite what the Scum small base ships needed. Scum big base ships are still great, but it was not what those small Scum fighters needed.
Though there's a part of me that's really holding out hope that Genesis Red will become relevant someday, because that is just such a cool ability.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Radio TCX listeners, time for a quick Patreon update. We're still waiting for some pledges to process, so we're not quite ready to announce our raffle winners for the January raffle, but that'll be coming in next week's episode. I do want to say a huge thank you to everyone who is a patron of Radio TCX during 2017. It's because of your guys' support that we're able to produce this podcast week to week and get those occasional live streams out there. So we really do appreciate your support. If you're interested in becoming a patron of Radio TCX, being eligible for our monthly raffles, as well as supporting the show week to week, please go to patreon.com/radioTCX and become a supporter of the show today. And now, back to the cast. So after the mostly disappointing release of the C-Rock, we saw some really important and meta-changing ships come out in Wave 11.
Yeah, we got the Ozatuk gunship, which I think everyone has fond memories of trying to kill one of those things with a reinforced token and just being so frustrated with how much work it takes. And then we also got the TIE Aggressor, giving us the twin laser turret platform for the Imperials, as well as the intensity upgrade. And then, of course, the Captain Nim ship, or Skurg Bomber.
Well, looking at the Ozatuk first, this is a pretty reliable platform just on its own with 3 native attack dice, an extra wide firing arc, and a whole lot of hit points. It also came with a lot of important pilot and upgrade cards. We got pilot cards like Lorik, where you could suddenly use that reinforced token to add an evade result to a friendly ship nearby, which in combination with another upgrade card that came in this expansion, the Selflessness Elite Pilot Talent, kind of created the archetype for fair ship or selfless rebels.
Yeah, I mean, this took the Rebel Synergy builds utilizing Biggs and Captain Rex and Jespoff already, and then gave them that fourth and final ship they needed to really push them over the edge. I mean, and then even moving forward, other variations of just Lorik, Biggs, and Miranda were very powerful. Just so much protection for whatever ships you want. You combine Biggs and Lorik together.
Well, and even after we saw Biggs get a pretty substantial nerf later, this ship has still proven to be a very effective offensive and control ship there, being able to use cards like Tactician to deal out stress tokens and then reliably just put out damage with those 3 attack dice and the wide firing arc.
Yeah, absolutely. Really strong addition to the Rebel Force, a big part of what's making them a contender currently. The TIE Aggressor didn't have as strong an impact as I would have liked. I mean, it is still a nice option for Imperialists to round them out a bit, but the big most impactful ship of the wave was definitely that Skurg Bomber. I mean, we'll go into detail about everything Captain Nim 1 moving forward.
Well, just looking at the Skurg Bomber, this is the ship that's kind of just good at everything. It's got great offense. It has access to turret upgrades, so it can get the twin laser turret, and it has amazing bombing potential. You being able to use cards like Bomblet Generator, Advanced Sensors, and Genius. And this has been a card that's been very impactful and kind of meta-defining in the last several months of X-Wing.
Well, in those 10 hit points, I mean, that's just a few more that makes it just a little too hard to kill before it really destroys your list. Usually you can survive that opening strike, and then by then your list is destroyed by just so much damage output from, you know, a cruise missile and then getting bombed and auto blaster turreted.
Well, and it's funny, too. Even one of the simplest elements that makes this ship so terribly oppressive is the fact that Captain Nim has access to that elite pilot talent upgrade, where you can now use veteran instincts to bring him up to pilot skill 10, which makes those bombing mechanics even that much more unavoidable.
Oh, that is one other thing. Also, in this wave, we got the release of Cruise Missile, which for a brief moment was the best missile in the game.
Now outclassed, it seems, by Harpoon Missiles, which came in the Guns for Hire expansion.
And then following, right after the Wave 11 release, we had our first big live stream of a major X-Wing event of the Fantasy Flight Store Championship, which was a huge blast and a big milestone for us at Radio TCX.
Yeah, it's been really fun to get into the live streaming thing. It's quite a bit of work to set up, but when we get to do it, it's very enjoyable, and we've been getting a lot of positive feedback about those live streams. Right now, we're working on trying to live stream some more major events throughout the year and just get you guys more visual X-Wing content.
Yeah, this is something we're just really happy we get to do as a podcast. It's made possible by all of our great patron supporters to be able to afford all the equipment for live streaming. So whenever we get the chance to do it, we're always very happy and excited to do it.
Over the course of this past summer, we saw some major X-Wing events. We saw the North American Championship back in August at Gen Con, where we had champion Nathan I beat out Zach Matthews in a really great Final X-Wing game. I think the archives are still out there from Gold Squadron stream, so if you can watch that game, it's one of the better games of X-Wing I've ever seen played.
Yeah, Nathan was flying Corrin Horn and Captain Nim, so this will be Captain Nim's first big win. Zach Matthews was flying Miranda Donny, Lorik, and Big Star Glider.
Yeah, and I had the pleasure to observe a lot of Nathan's games throughout the weekend, and it was just really great to see how masterfully he flew that combination, setting up perfect engagements with Captain Nim and Corrin. It was a really great weekend of X-Wing, so huge congratulations to Nathan for winning that major event. Not that long after the North American Championship at Gen Con, then we saw the U.S. National Championship at the Nova Open, where we got another great performance out of Captain Nim.
Yeah, and Paul Heaver won this one, flying Miranda Donny and Captain Nim. So Captain Nim really taking over the scene. Of course, both these events won by great players, Nathan Idy, and then now Paul Heaver winning the U.S. National Championship.
Yeah, over the course of both these events, we really got to see what was really the most powerful combinations in the metagame at the time. Really showed us all that Captain Nim was the ship you needed to be able to beat.
Yeah, so then moving into October, we got the release of the Guns for Hire expansion, something I was really excited for quite a while, getting those updates to both the Star Viper and the Kurax fighters, two scum ships who really needed the help. I think it helped the Kurax pretty well. That Voxi title, making all those upgrades really cheap, has made those Kurax now at the right price point for how survival they are. And you can really load them out a lot of different ways and be pretty successful. Now there's a lot of great munition options with the Guns for Hire, coming out with Harpoon Missiles, which are just even better than cruise missiles. We've really seen the arms race of missile upgrades this year. And harpoons are very powerful, and they're even cheaper when you put them on a Kurax.
Yeah, Harpoon Missiles is probably the most important card coming out of this expansion. Unfortunately, this did not so far fix the Star Viper in the way that you and I hoped, Carson. But there's definitely still some room there to play around. And yeah, the Kurax is definitely a lot more affordable. So it's also a pretty good missile platform.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen Thweak do okay. But gosh, you just have to take such a massive bid to get the most out of the copy and pilot skill ability of Thweak so that you can move second, which really kind of negates the negative point modifier of the Star Viper Mark II title. And it was frustrating to see all the new Star Viper pilots come in at low pilot skill, again, even lower than the original pilot skills.
Not long after the release of Guns for Hire, we saw another major FAQ update and a lot of errata changes coming to some pretty major and important X-Wing cards. We saw a change to Advanced Slam, where now Advanced Slam, after you perform the slam action, you can only perform an action listed on your action bar. This prevents you from performing actions on bomb cards, which was really where people were abusing this mechanic.
Yeah, luckily for Miranda, in Wave 11, we got the bomblet generator, so she can just adapt, just use infinite bombs, no longer advanced slam bombing.
We also saw a really substantial change to Atani Mind Link, where now Atani Mind Link is limited to just two copies per list. This brings down the efficiency of a lot of popular Atani lists like Paratani, where now only two of those ships can get benefit and takes away a lot of the action efficiency that the card was granting before.
Boo. Should have been small ship only. but it's a new year. I'll move on.
Still a lot of new toys to play with here in X-Wing.
Yeah, Captain Nim's favorite droid genius also got tweaked, so now you have to discard your bomblet generator if you use him, and can't use him if you bump. And then the last big nerf for Scum is the Jump Masters lose a lot of upgrade slots. Is it Astro and Torpedoes?
Yep.
Both the Torpedo slots and the Salvage Astromech slot are now removed from the Jump Masters.
Here's hoping that this is the final nerf we need to bring that power level back down.
Right. They had two nerfs in 2016, and now two more nerfs in 2017. Maybe that'll be enough for the Jump Master. Still sees play, too.
Another really important errata change that came in this FAQ was a change to Biggs Darklighter, where fundamentally Biggs' ability is the same, but now it can only trigger once per game rather than in every round of combat. This takes apart one of the key synergies we were seeing in the very popular Selfless or Fairship Rebels builds. We've still got Lorik out there throwing out free evades with that reinforced token, but a big change to Biggs means a big change to the way people are going to fly Rebels in the future.
Absolutely. I mean, we've basically just seen Lorik take his place, but that means it's harder to put both of them together and get that same effect, which is good.
I will say, though, my overall thoughts, seeing these two major FAQ updates, one at the beginning of the year, one towards the end of the year, is I actually really like the direction the game is going now. I maybe waited a little bit longer for that second FAQ update than I would have liked, but it's really good to see that we've got developers who are very aware of the unhealthy parts of the game, and they're working actively to try and correct those so that we can all have a much more entertaining and enjoyable X-Wing experience.
It'd still be nice to see bombing reined in a little bit more. Launch is now out, and that's not so fun.
Yeah, I'm not saying the game's perfect, but I think we're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and then finishing off the year, we got the release of Wave 12 and 13, which I think's done a lot of great stuff for the game. Assault gunboats are a lot of fun.
And that's really been our focus over the last several episodes of the podcast. We're still kind of sorting out what's really going to come to the top here in Waves 12 and 13. We're in the middle of a regional season, so we're already starting to see some really strong performances by these ships. And I expect to see a lot more in the coming months here from all five of these new Wave 12 and 13 ships.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, kind of biggest release of X-Wing we've had, you know, the Resistance Bomber, TIE Silencer, Assault Gunboat, Starwing thing, the Kimagila Fighter, and the Phantom 2, all really adding a lot.
Yeah, and so far I've had a lot of fun playing with pretty much all these expansions. So looking forward to using them more in the coming weeks and months.
And that wraps it up for 2017. Tim, do you want to do a little looking forward? What are we looking forward to in 2018?
Well, we're at an interesting point right now. We don't have any releases on the docket in the near future. So hopefully we'll maybe get some news out of Fantasy Flight here maybe in the next couple weeks, couple months. I don't know. Hopefully they'll give us something to look forward to here. I'm looking forward to a good regional season. Should be a lot of great games of X-Wing with a lot of fun new ships.
Yeah, I'm also looking forward to regional season, system open season. Hopefully seeing some of our out-of-state X-Wing fans when we travel around. It's always good fun. And then also hopefully doing more live streaming.
Yeah, I think overall, I think we're going to have a good year. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please consider going on to facebook.com/RadioTCX and liking our Facebook page. There's also a review section on our Facebook page, so if you want to leave us a 5-star review on there, letting people know what you like about the show, we would really appreciate that.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy the show, please consider going on to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star review, along with a comment saying what you like about the podcast and why other people might be interested in listening.
This week, we want to give a special shout out to D. Whale, who said that the show offered the most consistent blend of education for the new and tactics for the experienced. Thank you, D. Whale.
And a huge thank you to everyone who's already left us a review on iTunes. It really does mean a lot to us.
If you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/RadioTCX and become a supporter of the show today. It really means a lot to us.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening. Have a happy new year, and we'll see you next week.